right, we are still in the book of Galatians. I'm getting back to my comfort zone, which is preaching line upon line, verse by verse. When we left off, verse 20 of Galatians, the second chapter, I just want to reread where we were last week. I think we stopped at verse 19. I think we'll start there and then jump into verse 20, should the Lord say the same. Galatians, the second chapter, verse 19, I believe, through 21. Galatians, the second chapter, verse 19 through 21. And the word of God reads, "For I, through the law, am dead to the law, that I might live unto God." Paul says, "I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not frustrate the grace of God, for if righteousness comes by the law, then Christ is dead in vain." I want to speak to you today from the sermon title, "There is no substitute for Christ." There is no substitute for Christ. Amen. I believe this morning there is a tie between the law and living by the law and this aimlessness that we have in human activity on the earth, where we are missing the point of life, where we are missing what God has called us to do. And there's something that I want to try to closely tie to what the law is this morning. I'm praying that this comes across. All right, let me just say here, because of sin, we all have sinful goals. We have self-exalting thoughts. We have self-exalting wants and desires. Sin has done that to us. Amen? That's the stuff that comes along with human nature. You can't get away from it. You can't escape it. This is just something that we're born with because of sin. But this is also the stuff that begins to come to an end when we behold the majesty and the beauty and the wonder of who Christ Jesus really is. Amen? When we think about our Savior. Now, if you take a moment and really, really think about what he's done, what is it that we could ever do that could match Christ, that could top saving the world from their sins? What can we ever do to top what Jesus Christ has already done? Now, Paul made a statement here that we should look at again. Verse 19, "For I, through the law, am dead to the law, that I might live unto God." The way of the law is really about impressing God, if you will, in order to earn justification. Amen? Which is nothing but a stone's throw away from impressing people so that we can feel good about ourselves. And I'm going to connect that in just a minute. Think about it. We all seek approval. We all do things to puff ourselves up so that we appear to be better than what we really are. We dress up our insecurities with pride. We cover up our failures with achievements that we broadcast. We identify ourselves with this group or align ourselves with that group so that we can feel like we belong or we are part of something. In impressing God or in impressing people, we try to feel good about ourselves. This is the way of the law. We can't do the law perfectly. Amen? We can't impress people enough for them to really, really love us in spite of all of our failures and disappointments and shortcomings. This kind of law living, or living by the law, if you will, it gets in the way of our relationship with God by distracting us from his free gift of grace. And because we hide behind our affiliations with substitute groups or subgroups or various categories and classifications, it gives us no place for real authenticity in our relationships with people. Yeah. The sad truth is this. We may never, I may never, you may never get a chance to meet the real me or the real you, because many of us are too preoccupied with hiding behind what we would like everybody to see. Amen. We put our best image in front when the truth is we know we are failing. Amen. The problem here, I believe, starts with too much focus on ourselves. Yeah. The solution to the problem is having all of our value, all of our focus, all of our attention on Jesus Christ. Yeah. 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 Now, let's really consider what Paul is saying here. And let's consider the background of Apostle Paul. He's the one that's speaking here. Paul, really, in his beginning, before he got saved, before he found Christ, before he was stripped of himself, he lived by the law. He really placed a lot of an importance or a lot of value and importance on his cultural ethnic background, his achievements, his ability to keep the law. He was a model Pharisee. Their whole identity was wrapped up in how well they adhered to the rules and the commands of God. Amen. But even for Paul, as incredible as he was, even though he excelled, as he said, more than many or more than most, even for Paul, the law was too much for him, and he eventually did nothing other but condemn him. The law is too much for anybody. The law shows you what's wrong with you, and then it condemns you for not doing it. The law is comprised of, as I said last week, external ceremonial commands that, if kept perfectly, you could, by your obedience, somehow earn your goodness or earn enough goodness or earn enough righteousness, if you will, through your goodness to be accepted by God, which God knew would never, ever happen because sinful people cannot perfectly keep God's law. It's impossible. So God uses the law to drive us to sheer frustration. Huh? Out of sheer frustration, right to our knees. And from our knees, we ask God for forgiveness and place our trust in the only one who could keep the law perfectly, and that is Jesus Christ. Amen? So the purpose of the law is really, saints, just reviewing here a little bit, to deal a heavy blow to our ego. Yeah. It shuts the mouths. It stops the mouth, as the Bible says. It brings us low. It shatters man's sinful idea of thinking that he could do anything to make himself right with God. So putting your hope in your own goodness is really spiritual suicide. Yeah. You go straight to hell for trusting in your own goodness. We're not good enough. There's only one way of escape. You must place your hope in, your identity in, your everything in Jesus Christ. He is God, and only God is good enough to keep his law. There is no substitute for Jesus Christ. So what happened here? Paul said, through the law, I died to the law. He died to the law. He let go of everything or ever trying, rather, to be made right in God's eyes by his own efforts. He put his all, he put his hope, he put his, he gambled on Christ. He said, only Christ can do this, I can't do it. Clinging to the law keeps you from living unto God. The law is really all about what you do, not what Christ has done. Living unto God, if you live unto God, you've got to let go of one to embrace the other. You can't cling to the law and cling to Christ at the same time. You can't do it. In order to live unto God, you've got to embrace one and let go of the other. You cannot function out of both. You cannot mix the law with grace. You're either trusting in your own ability and your own achievements and your own righteousness, or you are leaning on the grace of Jesus Christ, where you receive the righteousness of Christ because you realize that your righteousness is nothing but filthy rags. The group that you may identify with, their righteousness is nothing but filthy rags. Your achievements, as wonderful as they may appear to be, they amount to nothing but filthy rags. There is no substitute for Jesus Christ. You either identify with him, you're either with him, or you're filthy. Amen. So let me once again explain this to you. If I said it over and over again, I hope you get this. The Jews, the people of Paul's people, the Pharisees, they had the law, but they added to the law things that were not originally in God's law. They added things that were external in nature, but did nothing to change the heart of man or the man's heart towards his God. It just made them look religiously impressive to people, but it didn't change them. Isn't that what we do? Huh? We show our best while we're struggling. God help us. Huh? In fact, the Pharisees only succeeded in being puffed up in their own self-righteous efforts or their nationalistic pride or their identifications with the Jewish race, which ultimately did nothing to save their souls. When Jesus Christ showed up, they didn't even recognize him. They were so caught up in themselves and their way of doing things, they didn't even see their king. They made plans to kill him. So again, this was not God's intended purpose for the law. This is what the Jews turned the law into. Amen? The Judaizers that decided to join Peter's church were coming with this erroneous belief that you had to keep the law in order to be saved. It was basically adding their own cultural misunderstanding of God's law to what Christ had accomplished on the cross for our salvation. To put it more simply, it was nothing more than adding Jewish pride or identification with Jewish pride to Jesus' sacrifice on the cross, as if to say that imperfect people could offer a perfect God some kind of aid in saving our own souls. It's impossible. We can't do it. Amen? Here's the truth. Sin has wounded the human soul in such a profound way that we can't fix it by effort, people. No. No. When Adam and Eve disobeyed God in the garden, sin came into this world. Sin messed us up so bad that ever since that day, we have been suffering from a disconnection from the very God who made us. Amen? Something's off. This has caused for a lot of us, many of us, to have identity crisis, where we spend our lives trying to answer three basic questions. Who we are? Who are we? Huh? What are we here for? And where are we headed? Without being reconnected to the God who made you, you will never know. You will waste your life without even knowing it. A lot of us are running around, identifying with all kinds of things, calling ourselves all kinds of things, trying to be all kinds of things, not realizing that our real identification was always supposed to be in God and in Christ. Amen? Now, I've made this statement before, and I'm going to say it again, even if I say it over and over again, I hope you begin to believe it, because it's simple and it's true. Man's chief end is to glorify God and to enjoy God forever. That is the purpose for us being here. That's why we were created. Watch this. Satan's chief objective is to make sure that no one becomes a child of God. But if you do, that you get so distracted by the lies of this world that you forget that you were here to glorify God and to enjoy Him forever. God wants us to know who we really are. Satan is hoping that you never get a clue. It is the will of God that we would one day be reunited with Him in heaven. But it is also the will of God that we would be connected to Him right now in the present. Satan desires that we are so distracted and so connected to everything else but God that we never ever get a chance to know what the truth is or even live in that truth. Instead, we find ourselves disconnected by Him and connected to this and that and wrapped up in this and that and identifying with this and that. That's what the enemy wants us to do. But I'm praying today that we would see the truth of who Jesus Christ is and identify with Jesus Christ so that we could actually live out the purpose for which we were created. Amen. So, verse 20. Galatians 2:20. Paul starts this off by saying, I am. Now stop right there. Many translations will say, I have been. And I'm not disagreeing with that, but I think the King James has nailed something here that we may not always see. We may read past. Because some people feel like the King James is very fancy language, and you know, okay, I can go with that. But look at what's being said here. I am. Before he gets into what he is, look at that statement. That's if I just were to take those two words in this verse and put them in the form of a question, the question would be, who are you? Many people would answer the question with stating their name. I am, in whatever race they would fill in the blank. I am African-American, I am Caucasian, I am Asian, I am whatever. They would fill in the blank with, I am this. Some people would fill in the blank with their marriage status. I am married or I am single. Some folks would fill it in with I am their occupation. That's who they are. I am a doctor, I'm a lawyer, I'm an auto mechanic, I am a barber, I'm a stay-at-home mother. Nowadays, people might, you know, it's 2020 and this is where we are, but nowadays people might answer the question by giving their sexual preference. I am straight. I am gay. I am some letter that represents who you're interested in sleeping with or having sex with. Or some people would say, I am some gender identity that they have chosen for themselves. Despite what they came here with, they're saying that they are something that they've chosen for themselves. They don't agree with what they can naturally see, and they want that change. So some people don't want you to call them a he or a she. Some people just want you to refer to them now as them or they. I am blank, whatever. Amen. And the list goes on and on and on. And then we have the folks that are identifying themselves by their achievements. And achievements can make you feel like you've done something good. Or fitting into a group can make you feel like you really belong. And this is where we tend nowadays to place our value. And I'm trying to tell you that's sin. That's not who we really, really are. No. At the rate we're going, it looks like we will find more subcategories and subgroups to define who we really are. And things are getting worse and worse and more complicated, and people are becoming more and more confused than ever before. I know somebody might not want to hear this, but I'm going to say it anyway. Amen. But I want you to notice here, Paul says, I am, in this 20th verse in Galatians, I am what? crucified with Christ. Now, this is not just an event in time or history. This is an identity. I am crucified with Christ. I'm not just an event. This is who I am. I identify with Christ. This is who Paul says he is now. No longer defined. If you look back in this earlier chapter, you see a lot of connections with race and cultural stuff and the law and you know, presenting yourselves as good enough and keeping up with this, keeping up with that. He says, No. I am crucified with Christ. I am no longer, Paul says, I'm no longer the Jewish man. I am no longer the tribe of Benjamin. I am no longer a man that identifies himself by a people group or racial background. He doesn't even identify himself by his job or his achievements. Huh? He doesn't, nor does he go around telling people what he's doing or what he's planning to do. He doesn't list a bunch of things that he's accomplished in his life. He's not going around saying, you know, I am Apostle so-and-so, and I have several churches underneath me. You know, I know people that identify themselves by apostle. It's almost like that's their first name. They introduce themselves as apostle. You can't get past it. I always want to ask them, is that on your birth certificate? Is that what... Is this who you are? Is that all you are? Are you just your job, Dr. So-and-so? And I do this and that. That's how we, you know, girl, I'm married now. That's, you're more than that. You're missing it. Huh? Paul is not hung up on all those things. He now identifies himself. I hope you can get this revelation. Crucified with Christ. What does that mean? That means dead to everything that could possibly be used to make me right with God. Dead to everything that could possibly be used, huh, externally to make me right with God. Being crucified is death. He's basically saying the old Paul is dead now. Have we gotten that revelation? Are you dead or are you still alive and kicking? Huh? Paul is saying, I'm crucified with Christ. Huh? If you are a believer, the old you is dead. And it has to be. Because the old you is what put Jesus Christ on the cross in the first place. All your sins, all your... It was my rebellion. Huh? It was my trespasses. Huh? It was, you know, it was all the... God told me to do it, and I didn't do it. God told me to go another way, and I went that way anyway. God told me to get away from there, and I went right into it. Huh? God told me to, you know, to start doing this, and I never did it. God, all of that, all... I'm crucified with Christ. Huh? That's who I am. I'm now dead. That's what put Christ on the cross was my rebellion against him. I am now crucified with Christ. That's how I see myself. Huh? If it had not been for God and all my rebellion and the mercy that Jesus Christ gave me on that cross, I would have been dead a long time ago. I would have checked out here a long time ago. When I see myself as dead to Jamie and alive to Christ. Oh, now we're talking some power now. Huh? Now we're talking about how we can live in the way that Christ has called us to live, in the way that God has always intended us to live. Huh? Here's the problem, though, saints. Until all of my substitute identifications are exposed and dealt with by the Word of God, I will cling to things and achievements and identities, subcategories that give me no power to do what I was created to do in the first place, and that is to live for God. So who are you? How do you identify yourself? Paul says in verse 20, I am crucified with Christ. Christ is now my identity. That's who I am. When Jesus died, I died with him. Which means the old Jamie Hawkins as the old unforgiven sinner is dead. I have a new identity and I don't live by the law anymore, trying to earn salvation from God. I no longer seek to impress people. All the approval I'll ever need has already been given to me in Jesus Christ. That's who I am. Why? Because what? He thought something of me enough to die for me. And here's the thing, saints, whether you realize it or not, God picked you out even before he formed the tree. God picked you out before he made the world. Before the foundation of the world, he already had a plan to rescue your life and to reunite you and reconnect you with your Savior, with your God. How did he do it? Through Jesus Christ. He did it because he loved you. Who am I? I am crucified with Christ. That's who I am. I'm hoping you're getting this. Huh? I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. Paul's not saying that he's lost his unique personality here, but he has died to an old identity and gained a new one. And with this new identity comes a new purpose for living. When you think about it, how did Paul accomplish all those things for the kingdom of God? What was his secret? Well, he died to the law and he died to himself, which are they're very close tie there. He learned how to get out of Jesus's way, huh? Oh, and then when it's not all about you anymore, then God can use you. Oh, when it's not all about people, when it's not all about me lifting up myself and exalting myself and trying to get to this point, when you let all that go and you trust in the goodness of Jesus Christ and his perfection, then you get out of God's way and then God can work through you because you're not in his way. That's how he did it. That's the secret. How do you see yourself? Huh? How do you see yourself? Huh? He died to the law. He died to himself. Some of us got it backwards. Huh? It's not I, but Christ liveth in me. Huh? I'm dead to myself, but I'm alive in Christ. We live our lives, some of us, we live our lives by doing what we want to do. And we never, ever stop to consider what God called us to do. Our lives are driven, totally driven by our own ideas. Our lives are driven by the lies of this world. We don't take the time to ask the one who created us, God, what is your original plan for me? What did you want me to do? What am I here for? Glorify me, live for me, let me live through you. Yield to my Holy Spirit, that's what you're here for. Let people see me and not you. Some of us will leave this planet without ever knowing, pursuing, becoming what God created us to be in the first place. It's not I, but Christ liveth in me. Huh? It's not I that lives. It's not I that lives, but Christ lives in me. Jesus, he's saying, Jesus has totally taken over. When you realize that you are dead to you and alive to Christ, then Jesus becomes your identity. Jesus becomes everything behind all your motivation. He's the motivation behind everything you do. So much so that your life literally becomes an extension of Jesus Christ himself. That's what we're here for, saints. That's who you really are. Amen? And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me, gave himself for me. Wow. The life I live now in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, not placing my hope or exalting my own goodness, nor the value of what I'm connected to or who I'm connected with or the value of my achievements, not my own righteousness. That's all the law, people. That's not it. But placing my hope in the righteousness of Jesus Christ alone. What? Who loved me and gave himself for me. The cross, saints, The crucifixion is not a pretty picture. No, no. The cross is a picture of all of my sin, all of your sin. And in spite of that extreme, supreme ugliness, which should never cause me to be proud or boast in anything, Jesus loved me in spite of all that and gave himself for me. He died for me. That's very humbling, saints. Huh? The truth is, when you realize that truth and you rely upon that truth, then that gives you the power to live for him. Why? Because when Christ alone is exalted in me, then Christ is alone is the one that I identify with, then I have the power to die to self, the power to die to anything. I have the power to live for God. But if I identify myself by all these other things, then I don't have any power. I'm disconnected. Listen, when you tell me that you have the right to be and live and do and everything you want to do, and it does not coincide with the example that was left by Jesus Christ, then you're, all you're saying is that you're not dead yet. That's all you're saying. I ain't dead yet. No, I'm still kicking. I'm still doing my thing. I'm just going to do me. I'm just going to be me. You know, y'all know me. Y'all know me. This is just who I am. No, 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 no. When you say you have the right to do that, huh? You're being your own king. That's not right. Huh? When you say that you have the right to just live any kind of way, you're letting us know that you're not dead yet. You're still living for yourself. And if I don't realize that I'm crucified with Christ, then I will start living for myself by default, because the sin in me will cause me to start thinking in a way that God never wanted me to think, to start living in a way that God never wanted me to live, depending on myself, trusting in myself, identifying with the crowd and following everybody else and getting in this and I'm a part of this, I'm a part of that. No, 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 no. That's not it. Listen, dumb sheep follow everybody. They follow anything. I remember when Michael Jackson first came out and everybody was walking around with beaded jackets and snapping their fingers and doing all kinds of stuff and wearing high water pants and sparkly socks. And those pants were very, very, very uncomfortable. But we did it because what? Everybody else was doing it. Everybody was walking backwards like that was the thing to do. Whatever I see everybody else doing, that's what I'm going to do. That's what happens when you have no identification with Christ. When you identify with everything else, you become a slave to what's going on with the crowd. And that's what I see a lot of people doing nowadays. Huh? Why? Because we don't know who we really are. We don't know who we are. We don't know why we're here. We don't know where we're headed. Huh? There's a disconnect. But that disconnect can be repaired. We can be made new. We can be born again. Christ, huh? When you get a relationship with Jesus Christ, he tells you who you are. He lives through you. He starts to cause you to die to things that you were never supposed to be living for in the first place. Huh? You get clarity. You're not wasting your life. You belong to God. You belong to God. You didn't start you off. You were given life. The one who gave you life has an expectation for your life. You belong to God. And the only way to get reconnected with your real purpose is to identify with Christ. And then when you start living for him, that's because you're dead. And you know you're alive in him. You can die to anything. I'm a living witness. There's some things I struggle with. And I submit all that to Jesus Christ. I say, Lord, help me with this. If this is not of you, I don't want to do it. I don't want to be it. I don't want to think it. Whatever you need to do, God, take it from me. If this is what you want me to do, let me know, God. If you don't want me to be connected with this anymore, let me know, God. Why, my supreme identity that's above everything, no substitute, Jesus Christ. All substitutes fall short of what is necessary to please God. I remember when we had substitute teachers. The teacher used to come to the class, and when we had our real teacher, we were like, oh, we better act right. But when the substitute came, It seemed like class was at a lower level, a lower standard. Some of us may not even remember that now with this COVID generation. Bless your hearts. I hope you get back to school. But when the original teacher was there, we would do what was intended. But when the substitute teachers were there, we'd be throwing paper, making spitballs, passing notes in class. We did all this because the teacher, the real teacher, wasn't there. The real teacher had what? Another level of authority. We didn't play when the real teacher was there. We would get in trouble when the real teacher was there. We didn't act like the teacher wasn't there. You know what I'm saying? When you identify with things that are substandards or substitutes for Christ, you lack the power to live in the way that God has intended. The authority is not high enough in those other subcategories. You can identify yourself by that. That's not going to work. When my identified is crucified with Christ, when that is who I am, and when I realize that Christ lives in me, then I can live the life that God intended me to live. I live a life that is glorifying God. And while I'm glorifying God, I am enjoying him and expecting to enjoy him forever. Are you hearing me? I hope this is not too complicated for you. It's a very simple message. Living under the law, trying to do everything that's right when you know you can't, trying to please God in such a way where you lean on your own goodness and striving and pushing and not leaning on the grace of God, the grace of God that was provided in Jesus Christ. All that striving, the law can only do one thing. It brings you to condemnation, because if you do good in this area, you fail in that area. You just can't do it. And the law was never meant to change the heart. Listen, saints, the best you can do with living in the external ceremonial law is to be a hypocrite, where you put on a mask and try your best to look holy in front of people. When you got all kinds of filthy thoughts in your head and you go home and when nobody's looking, we fall into sin and we slip into things and folks are not looking at us. We do what we should not do, because we lack the power to be victorious in our lives, when we're by ourselves. I'm trying to tell you something here, people. It's sad. Some of us are, we are publicly holy, but privately defeated. We can't do it. Why? Because there's no power in the law. There's no power in trying to do everything right. The power comes when we focus on the one who did everything right for us. That's where the power comes from. The law has no power to make you live for God. Only identifying with Christ crucified, that's where we see his love for us, saints. That's where we see his love for us. The holy living starts when we look at what Christ has done. And when we identify with that. But holy living starts when you let go of all of these other subcategories, all these other identities, these substitutes, these substandards. They are not high enough to cause you to live the life that Christ called you to live. Our real identity is his bought and paid for church. That's who we are. Who are you, Jamie? I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. It's not I that lives, but Christ lives in me. He gave himself for me. The life I live now in the flesh, I live by faith of the Son of God. I rest in what he's done. I rest in the fact that he loved me. I rest in the fact that he gave himself for me. I focus on that. I rest in the fact that he took my sins to the cross. He buried all my stuff there. He washed my sins away. That's who I am. I'm a new creature. I'm born again. I've been given something I don't deserve. I function. I live out of that. I identify with that truth. And that truth gives me the power to not try to live up to the law, but to live out of love. And love will cause me to live a glorifying life for God. Are you hearing me, saints? Are you hearing me? I can't impress people. As soon as I get where I'm trying to get, somebody is going to be jealous of me or thinking ain't enough. Huh? It's just like the law. Huh? Can't do it. Let it go. Take your focus off of yourself. Put your focus on Jesus Christ. I did not frustrate the grace of God. For if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. I do not nullify the grace of God that was given to me as a gift, because I didn't have any righteousness of my own to offer God. I can't pay for my rebellion. I can't do it. If righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. If I could have saved myself by trying harder, I would have. But the mere fact that Christ showed up lets me know that I couldn't. The mere fact that Christ died for me lets me know that I couldn't. I don't have my identity in anything else but in the simple fact that I am bought and paid for. I'm redeemed. I'm purchased. I live holy because he loved me. The perfect, holy Son of God gave himself for me. And that is my primary objective in life. Getting out of his way so he could do what he wants to do with me. Huh? We complicate things. We need to simplify it this morning. Who are you? Who are you? What are you here for? Where are you headed? I belong to Christ. I'm here to glorify God. And I'm going to live with him in glory forever and ever, and I'm going to enjoy him. That's basically who I really am. Let me say this. It's not on the scripture. I don't have it, but write the scripture down. Colossians 1, 12, and 13. Colossians 1, 12, and 13. I just read it very simply. It just says this. Giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. I was broke righteously. I was, totally empty. I was bankrupt spiritually. I had nothing to offer. And now I have an inheritance. Why? Because God made us meet. How? Through Jesus Christ. Verse 13 says, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness. The power of darkness. Not just sinful living, but sinful thinking. Not just sinful thinking, but being blind to the truth, people. Being so distracted we can't see. From the power of darkness, and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. You want to know who you are? It starts with where you are now. You're no longer church in the darkness. You've been translated into the kingdom of his dear Son. He brought us out of darkness and put us in the marvelous light. We've been translated into the kingdom. Who are you? How did we get there? He was crucified for us. He died for us. When he died, you died. That's where you are. This is who you are. Do you know who you are? There are no substitutes. There are no subcategories. There is no substitute for Jesus Christ. Only identification with him can cause you to look for his coming and cause you to live for him now.